Hi, welcome to Vitamin B6 to Go, episode 5, the first episode of season 2. I am Jim, and with me here is...
Joe Kavanaugh?
And?
For Ryan Anderson?
Thank you, cyborg co-hosts. Alright, we're making... We're making some changes around here that we'd like to announce. First of all, we're changing the
more spectacular. As much as we can fit in.
We're going to push as much as we possibly can. We're going to have Quantum Leap. We're going to have Enterprise. We're going to have that scene from American Beauty. We're going to have everything.
Disappointingly,
try to fit
we do not
that,
have
that when he was in that episode of Boston Legal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're changing our name to Vitamin B Bacula.
The B couldn't just stand for Bacula. You had to make it as long as possible. Gives it distinction.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Well, yeah. That's not the changes that was referring to, although they are very fortuitous ones.
Found.
Due to fan comments and our own time constraints, we're going to cut average episode durations down to about 20 or 25 minutes. But to compensate, we're going to try and do 2 episodes per week. So you can look forward to more digestible content with more of a logical structure and delivered more frequently throughout the week by your friends at Vitamin B6 to Go. Yeah.
I think that's very important in this sort of unstable economy that you have a lot of free podcasts that you can depend on. Because let's face it, you don't have money to buy expensive real music or commentary. So where else are you going to go? You know,
let vitamin B6 be that one stable element in your tumultuous life. Okay, and also we'd like to announce the auspicious launch of our new website. Joe, would you like to talk about that?
Well, the history of the vitamin B6 website can best be described as a tragedy. Ill-timed. Ill-timed might even be a better word.
Well, okay.
The B6 website was when...
wait,
I'm not done.
Hold on.
You'll let me finish.
I need to re-preface it, all right? Well, I was going to get to this later, but we can also add to this kind of a moment of mourning for 3 episodes of Vitamin B6 to Go that were lost in the ether of the internet. For some reason, our recording software failed drastically, even after fixing and retesting. In fact, there's no guarantee that this episode will work, although... although I'm sure
let's
it is.
For 4, gentlemen. That's straight.
I'm gonna make a little sign that says, like, how many days since an episode got deleted, and then we'll have to change it to 0 every week. But, but yeah, back to the our new website.
Well, as I said earlier, the website can best be described as a real tragedy. For a short time, the website, in my own estimation, was... We had a homepage, we had a forum, we had all our employees, we had fancy pictures, and it was just a good time to go and visit. But we had a terrible, terrible technology breakdown, and the website took a drastic turn towards this sort of emo image, and it never recovered, and it didn't finish. And I just wish you could have been there in the glory days of the website, though. No, no episode ever got off telling anybody about the website, so no one ever knew.
So it is new news, folks, for your eyes only. No one's seen it yet.
Yeah, so maybe someday we will have we can throw a link up to the beginnings of the website. And, you know, honestly, I think the new emo website actually is a lot of artistic value for our art lovers out there. But in actual accessibility and usefulness, it's effective. I can tell you anything. It's just some pretty pictures, frankly. So, if I just can say one thing, I just seen the old website. You know, it was if Jesus was designing websites, it would have looked something like the vitamin. Just in my own estimation.
Yeah. All right. So check it out eventually, Vitamin B6 listeners. Today we have gathered to talk about a little blue man
Okay.
named Mega Man.
Yep.
And Mega Man is
Writing robot.
actually an especially good topic, better than you'd think, for this kind of show where we try to capture multimedia and entertainment across all forms of media. Because Mega Man has actually existed in many forms and many kind of adaptations or spin-offs, which we will cover, beyond the video game medium, which he's most commonly known for. I just read a little bit about Mega Man. The first game, entitled, not ironically, Mega Man for the Nintendo Entertainment System, came out 1987. So that's when you can basically consider the birth of Mega Man. But he's been around from then until the present, and he's still appearing very frequently in new games, none of which are extremely good. But he has appeared in over 120 games, and I'm not sure whether that includes spin-offs or games in which he just makes a cameo, because he was in a couple of games like Marvel vs. Capcom, where he's a character you can play as, but it's not a Mega Man game. I don't know if those count towards that number, but regardless, he has been in a very high
I would think
volume
so.
of games. But besides video games, we'll avoid talking as much about video games as it would seem natural to do, because we want to cover all forms of media. We have some music that's actually based on Mega Man, and also the animated television series to talk about. Brian,
Where to
stop
be?
sending links.
Again, I mean, the Blue Bomber has reached his mighty, I don't know if I'd say hand, because he has really more of a stick blast or whatever,
Yeah, it's very
pretty far
unclear
into the world of media.
how the hand actually turns into the blaster.
I think that's got to be some trouble in
It's a point of contention among
the
fans and has been for a very long time.
Yes.
Well, to give kind of a synopsis
War
of Mega Man's
is a bit over.
life in video games, what?
I said wars have been fought over that hand question.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It was a joke, Jim.
Where is
Lighten
it?
up,
No,
man.
I didn't hear. I didn't hear what you said. No. All right. Mega Man started with what's now known as the Classic Series. It wasn't known as that back then, because to call it the Classic Series would have been awful presumptuous.
That'd be pretty pretentious.
yeah.
Sure.
But
I call myself Joe Classic. I don't know. I'm pretty pretentious myself. All the Joes are spin-offs.
I started dressing differently and telling more jokes, and then I went back to how I used to be and called myself Jim Classic.
It was a marketing campaign, really, to make the original Jim, more likable.
Everyone enjoyed that thoroughly. Up until last year, the classic series of Mega Man consisted of 8 games for various systems, mostly the Nintendo Entertainment System, which held Mega Man 1 through 6. But last year, I was it last? Yeah, it was last year, late last year.
Late last year.
Mega Man 9 came out for the as a WiiWare game on the Nintendo Wii. They it's basically an 8-bit game. The Mega Man 2 is known as the best of the series. It's like a high watermark for just the development of the classic series. I don't really know why. I've been meaning to study it. I mean, I've read a bunch of dumb comments that people made, but I was actually going to play them back to back and see what's really so good about 2 that it's almost unanimously the best, known as the best of the series. But Mega Man 9 goes back to the style of Mega Man 2, which is, 8-bit NES technology, and tries to recreate the original experience as faithfully as possible. You don't even have a charge shot. For anyone who remembers climbing in a Mega Man game, if perhaps you've played a Mega Man game, that didn't come in until the X series, I think. I haven't played Yeah, it didn't come into the X series. So there's no blaster, no climb, and you don't have a slide either. So it's basically jump and shoot. You'd think that that would be kind of simple, but the level design is just so brilliant that it makes it work and completely kind of disguises the simplicity of the game.
Jim, I think at this point it might be worth going over some of the history of the character of Mega Man. I mean, he's had a phenomenal history between the mistranslations of games, so maybe it would help our audience a little if we discuss that.
What the history of the character?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was. Well, I know you know the story probably better than anybody. He was the helper robot. Dr. Light was involved. Dr. Wily.
Right. I can't remember. I don't think there was an opening at all to the No, there definitely wasn't to the first Mega Man game. There wasn't really like an opening kind of cinema or anything, if that may be called a cinema in an 8-bit era. It's basically just a slideshow of images. But so the story was probably, if told at all, told in the instruction manual, actually, to the game. What's considered a canon, I guess, for those who care, is Mega Man was built as a helper robot, kind of like a servant by Dr. Light.
He was enslaved by the white man.
What? The devil.
That's right.
among many other robots, and Dr. Light's partner, Dr. Wily. Right?
Why was he Dr. Light and
He
not Dr.
was a
Dark?
v- he was very he was very ominously named. You know, Dr. Light might have assumed that something bad was going to happen when his partner was named Albert Wily. He stole
I
all
believe
the
he was
other.
named after Wile E. Coyote.
Really?
I
Well, you heard it here
heard
first,
that.
Vitamin B6 listeners. Dr. Wily stole all the other robots besides Mega Man and then turned them evil and destroyed stuff with them and, you know, power hungry thing. And then Dr. Light turned Mega Man from a domestic robot into a super fighting robot to combat Wily's robots. That story.
What choice did he have? That's what I do, though.
Yeah,
Just thought
I
I'd
mean,
throw that out there.
it was just a natural thing. by the way, in
He didn't
Japan.
turn the girl into a fighting robot, though. She stayed a domestic robot.
Yeah, Mega Man is actually a highly misogynist story. That with
True.
that, there's
True.
actually a kind of a clever pun embedded in it that most Americans wouldn't know about. In Japan, Mega Man is known as Rock Man, not Mega Man, and or just Rock, I think he's referred to for short. But his sister's name is Roll in both America and Japan. So it's rock and roll, but that joke doesn't really carry over to America just because of they changed the name and the localization to Mega Man. That story we were just talking about, how Mega Man got turned into a fighting robot. If anyone really knew that, it was probably from the Mega Man animated series, which I should look up
Before
what.
we get off of Mega Man, before we get off of Mega Man 1, we've discussed this a little bit earlier, and if any of you audience get the chance, I would look up the cover of Mega Man 1, and especially if you have any experience at all with Mega Man, you'll see how ridiculous it is. I mean, I think Jim told me that's three for a video game.
Sorry, what did you say? What was that last thing?
I
I've
heard
heard it's
no.
among the worst. Didn't hear any of that?
No.
I lost heart. I'm going to the pool. Continue.
What? No.
Keep going, keep going. I'm here. I'm here for you. Well, I tried to say something that didn't work.
Just kind of introduce something and drop it off. Yeah, no,
Well,
Meg.
okay. Do you want me to restart? Or because I
No.
thought, did how much.
I don't know. It's fine. I heard most of it. Yeah, Mega Man 1 does have ex very notoriously bad box art. In fact, it probably curtailed the popularity, or what would have been the popularity of the series, because the box art was so bad, and you know, a lot of kids based their purchases, or you know, what they asked for Christmas, based on box art, and that terrible art of like this hydrocephalic blue monster guy with like a gun in some kind of laser world would have been a serious deterrent in selling the product. But and
the picture was more accurately described, Brian, as I understand it.
I couldn't hear that.
No. Damn it! I can't jokes. Okay, 1 second.
All right, Brian, it's you and me.
Yo.
Let's keep this train on the rails, Brian.
Jim, I'm in the pool car and I'm having a good time. I'm not the pool that Joe's at. I'm playing pool with the rectangular cues and all that jazz.
What are you playing?
Nice.
He's playing
games during this recording.
No, I'm on StumbleUpon.
That's very unprofessional.
StumbleUpon?
Yeah.
Symbolpon?
Spograt.
Spograt.
This whole time I'm thinking about whether I'm going
like
to cut this.
And cut it all.
I'm going to cut it all.
I feel like we're not doing justice to a Mega Man episode.
We're not making a documentary, though. It's just us talking. Like, we're not...
Well, we can do much better, though. We can do some research. A Mega Man is a big deal to us. Let's save Mega Man for a time when we're going to sit down and do it right. Let's do something
There is
stupid
no way in hell I'm time. Stopping this episode and not doing it.
Oh, come on. No.
Jim, don't make me institute the three-person democracy, okay? Don't make me institute this.
I will quit the podcast.
He doesn't want to
institute the three-person
democracy.
He
doesn't want to do that. You quit your own podcast. You found a podcast only to immediately quit. You're the Southern Confederacy of this podcast.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
All right, the Mega Man animated series was an early 90s cartoon, so it's one that listeners our age are likely to remember, or at least have seen one episode of. It wasn't extremely good or anything, but it actually did a lot to characterize Mega Man. In the 8-bit NES games, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for characterization or storytelling, because, like I said, they're kind of equivalent of a cinema, was just a slideshow of images, and there wasn't a lot of memory on the cartridge, etc. So there wasn't a whole lot of story. The games were kind of wanting in story, but they made up for it in gameplay. But anyway, the animated series kind of told a lot of stories and brought Mega Man to life. And like we said earlier, it illustrated very vividly the story of Mega Man becoming a fighting robot after, you know, formerly just being a kind of domestic helper robot. I actually watched the whole thing, and they incorporate a lot of the robot masters from many of the different games. And while the games just kind of seemed like they were slaves to the gameplay of the series, like it was just about shooting and then eventually sliding under things, and they would just recreate it over and over because that's the gameplay that they wanted to get out of it, because that's what a Mega Man game is, it's gameplay. And this all came at the expense of kind of logical story, because Dr. Wily was always behind it in every single game, and it was entirely predictable after the second one that it was going to be Dr. Wily up to no good again, and he made 8 more robot masters, and they have even stupider names than the last one. But the anime series actually presented all the robots in kind of the same universe, maybe two robots working together from different games in the series, and it kind of added some kind of verisimilitude, if that word can be used in this context, to the whole world of the series. And so, while it wasn't very good, you can't underestimate its influence on the video game series. And that's kind of a good example of, intermedia intertextuality. And it's interesting to think about.
Yeah. I think that is very interesting, Jim. I think it would be worth noting, on sort of maybe a slightly broader sense, that when you look at something like a Mega Man TV show, I think it certain things about media in general. One in particular being that TV shows, movies, games, they kind of go in cycles, and one thing happens, and then a lot of maybe imitators will come along. And what I mean how this relates to Mega Man is, you see, the Mega Man game is pretty successful. And then you see, very similar to that, a Zelda TV show, a Mario TV show. It's just, I think around this time, it became fashionable. You know, there was TV shows. So it's kind of like an interesting subgroup, you know, ones based off of video games.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting to kind of try to draw the line between marketing and, like, enlivening or, like, supplementing a video game when they give it, like, a companion animated series. Because you wonder if they're just trying to get kids to beg their parents for it, like a serial ad or something. Or if they're actually, you know, serious about making it a multimedia kind of phenomenon.
You know, and I think you're right. And I lean more towards the side, and this is a little pessimistic, that it was probably, like you said, a marketing, money-making thing. Because I never got the sense from any that the people who were working on the video game had much creative input on the TV shows. Mm-hmm. I don't have any facts to back that up. You know, I don't think they had any problem making conflicting, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And Mega Man's legacy continues to live on. Obviously, Mega Man 9 being a great example of that, which I know we didn't finish talking about that very coherently. If you have a Wii, you should definitely just go online and buy it immediately. It's super hard, which is kind of to evoke the feeling of the difficulty of all the old NES games. It's done very deliberately, but it's not impossible, and you can just enjoy the level design. It's a brilliant game, and it's historically significant because they made it very faithfully in the 8-bit vein. And they only added extra technology when it was necessary to, like, save your game and stuff. They have save states, etc. But it is all 8-bit style.
For those of you who maybe aren't quite sure what we're talking about, on the Wii, the new generation Wii console, internet connectivity, like it is on all the systems, become a critical feature. And the Wii, not really uniquely, but differently, because it has added a function which it calls WiiWare. And WiiWare breaks itself down into a couple different sections. There's just standard applications like web browsers, from, you know, applications for making phone calls. And then there's games, classic games, and new games. And they've, through negotiation, their developers managed to put a real sizable amount of games, and they've done a good job at picking good games to put on there too. And the Mega Man, it's a great thing to be interested in old games, because I know Jim in particular, but both as well, are real interested in old video games too. And you know, any one of us can tell you the trouble in trying to acquire and use those things. They just break down; they're very old. So for anybody who has interest in trying to play an authentic version of an old game, there's really nothing better.
Right. Xbox Live and PS3 have kind of set up similar, applications of their consoles. But Nintendo's virtual console is working really well. To be completely pedantic. The virtual console is where you download the old games, and WiiWare is kind of like new downloadware. It's like new software that kind of just wasn't,
right.
wasn't big
yes.
enough, or they were afraid it wouldn't sell or something as a full-on release, so it's, you know, released virtually. Mega Man 9 being an example of that.
Yeah, good. So, I got that wrong. Virtual console, of course. That's what the remakes of the old video games are.
Mega Man 9 is an example of Mega Man's legacy kind of continuing on today, with the classic series remaining the most popular. And more popular than all the other series to follow, which include the X series, the Legend series, the Battle Network series, the Zero series, ZX series, and Star Force series. I think I got that right. The Star Force being the most recent, a bunch of games coming out for the Nintendo DS. I haven't really played any of them. Just to mention in passing, Mega Man Legends is also great. There's Mega Man Legends 2 and The Misadventures of Tron Bonne are all in the Mega Man Legends series. Those are all for the PS1. And then there's also a port of Mega Man Legends called Mega Man 64 for the Nintendo 64. Check those out if you have time. It's kind of like an alternate universe. Very different gameplay than the original Mega Man series. But anyway, I keep reintroducing this segue. Mega Man 9, an example of Mega Man's legacy living on. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a bunch of people making music based on the music of Mega Man. The classic series of Mega Man is known to have some of the greatest music in video games, and it has a bunch of imitators, or not imitators, but people who are just inspired by the melodies and kind of add their own take to it. There's one band called the Mini Bosses who do 8-bit video game music, specifically, I think, just from the NES console, but they play it with, you know, real instruments like guitar and drums, and kind of turn it into a heavy rock song. And I know that they're not exclusively Mega Man oriented, but they did a song just called Mega Man 2, and it was a medley of all the music from the Mega Man 2 game with, you know, rock instrumentation, and it's great. There's another band called Proto Men, which I think are more conceptual, and they're just kind of like futuristic metal or something. I'm not really sure that the degree to which they're inspired directly by Mega Man, but they are named after the character in the games, Proto Man. But then the one I want to give the most attention to is a band called the Megas. They released an album called Get Equipped, and the whole album is devoted to the music of Mega Man 2. And they do kind of what I said the mini bosses do, like just the original songs with rock instrumentation, but they also make up their own lyrics. And the songs are kind of, they devote a song to each level, which is in turn devoted to a single boss from the game. So the songs kind of have like Woodman, Heatman, Airman, and then they kind of make up their own narratives through the lyrics about the bosses that Mega Man is fighting. And it's frequently very very cheesy and, you know, stupid, but it's sometimes there are these like brief glimmers of poetry in it that are really cool. One of the lyrics was like, "Does death wear blue?" And with Airman in the game, he's kind of like a giant fan, the character design, and when you fight him, you're on unsteady ground. There's kind of holes that you can fall through, and he pushes you away by turning on this little fan thing, and in an attempt to, you know, blow you off the edge. And the lyrics are, "Do you know what it's like to be built this way with only the power to push others away?" And it's just kind of really creative. You know, albeit lame, but you should give it a listen. It's really entertaining, especially if you've heard the original music from the games. It's really thrilling to hear it in, you know, rock instrumentation.
Yeah, I've had a chance to listen to some of it, and I feel like it's probably going to
music's that. The music's good on its own. It really is. It is. Really, man. If you've never played, you know, it's tough to say that it's not going to hurt your appreciation of it, but it's worth a listen if you have access to any sort of downloading program. Not Ruckus, unfortunately, anymore, because the White Devil has taken that away.
Right.
So.
Believe it or not, Vitamin B6 listeners, Brian has been with us this whole time. He's been kind of lurking in his room, looking up funny videos. Or
he's
something.
Got a lot on his mind.
Not yeah.
I've had no applicable comments. I'm sorry.
How do you not?
Well, right. we know you're not a Mega Man expert. I mean that's not a problem. I mean it's we all know legit man.
Right. Well, Brian, what's your experience with Mega Man? What games have you played?
I guess the first one I played was the Mega Man 3 for the NES, which was actually I think the first game I bought ever. I was like 6.
That's an auspicious start.
I don't think I ever bought an NES game. I think like I was too young buying games.
My addiction started early than most, I guess could be said. But yeah, I really have very little experience with it, thinking about it. I was playing the one for the PSP that you have, Joe.
Oh yeah,
I was with you.
Oh, we forgot to mention that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was determined that anyone who wears red is better than Mega Man.
Well,
referring to Proto
we'll
and
Zero. You can't play Zero. Oh, Zero is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a quick rundown of what we're talking about right here? Mega Man Powered Up is a remake of the 1987 original Mega Man 1, just Mega Man Club, you know, whatever. And it's interesting. They have the game. They have two separate games on the PSP disc that you buy, and the first game is. It's just the original, completely re-imaged. But it's still, you know, identically the same game, the same number of bosses. The second game is a much more dynamic game. They've added two more robot masters, a lot more kinds of enemies, more powers. They've added a bunch of playable characters. You can now play as all 8 of the characters. You can play as a role. You can play as Proto Man. Challenges to unlock. It's a big game and an interesting game, and it's It's a little bit Japanimation, but you know, we can look past that. There's another game very similar to it that none of us is far as I know, but we hopefully will soon. It's called Mega Man X, I think Maverick Hunter, and it's a similar thing. It's a re-image of the original Mega Man X game, which is another series of Mega Man. Maybe my favorite of the French, but anyway, it's again a reimaging. It lets you play as a lot of different characters. Maybe its most interesting feature is you get to play as a character, a very little known character. I think he only shows up in the original Mega Man X. His name is Vile, and for any non Mega Man fans, but you know, I thought it. So.
Yeah.
That's that.
Check those games out if you have the Sony PSP handheld. Alright. That's all for this episode of Vitamin B6 to Go. If you'd like to share your opinions, suggestions, or sandwich stories, you can post on our blog or in the Vitamin B6 to Go Facebook group. Also, please take the time to write a review of Vitamin B6 on iTunes. If you would like to do so, request the Bureau of Public Relations for the C9 form necessary to obtain permission from the Vitamin B6 Corporation to express your opinion. The C9 form has a turnaround of 4 to 6 weeks. Shipping is paid by the opiner. Thank you and good night.